Good evening and welcome to this ninth episode of season two of Boo My Dad Says. My name is John and tonight I am going to be a solo act as Rebecca was unable to make it for tonight's show. She just had a lot going on and was helping our oldest son with some math homework. And I knew she was just having a really hard day. So I said, hey, honey, I can handle tonight's episode on my own. You take care of the things that you need to get taken care of, and we will make this work. So that is why Rebecca's not going to be with us tonight. But anyways, just want to say today, March the 1st, it's actually Monday. I'm recording on a Monday this week, is my birthday. I turned 41 years old today, guys. And I have to say, I don't feel any different than I did yesterday. But, you know, hey, I've only been 41 for technically about 2 hours and a half or so, as I was born at 5:26 p.m. on March the 1st. So I haven't really got that much of a taste of being 41, but here I am. Tonight, we're going to be talking about King's Tavern down in Natchez, Mississippi. But before we do that, I just want to remind you all that we have a Facebook group that you can join up with and meet other fans of the show. And that's at facebook.com/groups/boomydadsays. And you can click join and then I will approve the membership request and you can meet all the other Boo My Dad Says fans. We also have a website at www.boomydadsays.com, and you can also find us on Instagram at boomydadsays, and also on Twitter at boomydadsays. Now, if you have a paranormal story that you would like to talk about, you can feel free to email me at john@boomydadsays.com. And I will be happy to put your story onto the show and we can, you know, give you a pseudonym if you wish. If you want to remain anonymous, that's not a big deal for us. We'll be happy to do that for you. Tonight, before we get into our story, we have a special treat. For those of you all who like true crime podcasts, I want to play a trailer for a show that I found, and I've talked with the host of the podcast, and I said I'd be happy to play their trailer on my show. And the show is called Killer Locales, and it is really, really good. I've listened to a few of their episodes, and I've enjoyed it quite a bit. So let's take a listen to that trailer, and then we will get into the show.
Hey there, Killer Babes here. We explore the places you've been, the places you want to go, and the places you'll never want to go again. And we are Killer Locale. Join us on this creepy road trip of murder and mayhem.
You can catch Killer Locale on all of your favorite podcast providers, and their episodes come out every Friday. And I really hope y'all will enjoy their show because I really think they have a great podcast. Tonight we're going to be getting into King's Tavern in Natchez, Mississippi. And I've found this to be a very fascinating place because the building has been around for a little over 230 years, and that makes it the oldest structure in Natchez, Mississippi. And there's a whole lot of murder, affairs, and just drama that makes this place have a very rich history that I think you guys are going to enjoy. The King's Tavern started out around 1769 when the British moved in and established Fort Panmure. The King's Tavern building was originally built to be a blockhouse for the fort. As there was no sawmill near this frontier town, this building and other structures were constructed using beams taken from scrapped New Orleans sailing ships, which were brought to Natchez via mule. Another source of wood for the building was the barges that were floated down the Mississippi River. The barge boards from the flatboats were dismantled and sold after arriving in Natchez, after their goods and everything had been unloaded. And the boatmen would take they couldn't take their flatboats back up these rivers, so they just added to their profit by selling the boats for wood when they reached Natchez. Besides the wood, they used sun-dried bricks and as the other building material. The result is a building which has an ambiance and a decor of another era from the outside. Though the outside of the King's Tavern has the rustic 1780s authentic wooden and brick architectural style, the inside is a lovely, cozy place for a quiet, intimate meal or to host luncheons and dinner parties and reception meetings. I'm going to tag some of this as the King's Tavern went out of business, I think, back in 2008, 2009 when I was doing my research. The economy in Natchez just went downhill and they had to shut down permanently. And that's very sad because I've seen some of the pictures from the inside of this place and it's just absolutely gorgeous, the way it was built. And it really is just a very cozy looking building. And I'm really sad that they had to go out of business. And who knows, maybe when things turns around from the economy and things, somebody may buy it and bring it back. But it has been closed for quite some time. But moving on with our history of the building, after the Revolutionary War in 1776, the British left town, leaving this wild and woolly frontier river port open for other interests. In 1789, a New Yorker by the name of Richard King moved his family to Natchez, where he bought this block home and opened a combination tavern slash inn, as well as a place where the town's mail was dropped off. His inn business was very successful because of the need for boatmen and weary stage riders to have a secure place to rest for the night. The upstairs room on the third floor were comfortable accommodations. This place being a post office, inn, tavern, it turned into be quite a popular venue. Selling drinks to townspeople and visitors as well was quite the moneymaker, but Richard King, found that he was doing very well because he also was the town's mailman. And so everybody congregated on the steps of this building, you know, socializing and hanging out and reading their mail. He became rather a celebrity in Natchez. He and his wife, you know, they became these very prominent figures in town. I guess all good things must come to an end, because during this time there was some rather unsavory people who settled in Natchez and they started preying on these boatmen and visitors, and they were making a living from gambling and robbing people, and then sometimes they wouldn't even think twice about killing their victims. After selling their goods and their flatboats, the boatmen would spend the night in King's Tavern, and then they would head home along the Natchez Trace pathway. And these highwaymen would just hold them up, and they usually would kill them. And one of those groups of bad guys was some guys called the Harp Brothers. And they were outlaws that absolutely took just delight in torturing and mutilating and finally killing their victims. The Hart brothers, as well as other such men, would then return to Natchez and then stimulate the economy by gambling and staying in the King's Tavern. Well, that's going to lead to one of our other stories, because one of the brothers really stepped over the line, even for outlaws. He really landed himself into some trouble later on. This heyday of crime was kind of short-lived, because with the invention of the steamboat that could travel up the Mississippi and the rivers, as well as down, of course, the need for traveling along the Natchez Trace ended, and so the crime there kind of went down. This really cut down on that lucrative stage business, which also dropped the economic activity taking place at King's Tavern. Richard King, he sold the tavern in 1817, and the building was once again a private home, becoming the Postal Waste family home for several generations, roughly for about 150 years, and that was in the beginning of 1823. In 1973, the building was sold, and it eventually became a tavern and restaurant to serve both locals and visitors, taking the original name, the King's Tavern, and open both to the living and the entities which stay there. Looking back, where I had mentioned the Hart brothers, well, one of the Hart brothers, known as Big Harp, was staying at the tavern and paying for it with some of his hard-earned stolen money. And there was also a mother with a fussy baby who was staying in the attic room, and she was trying to quiet the child. Well, Big Harp, being the bad guy that he is, he went upstairs from the tavern area and went to this attic room, and he grabbed the baby and he swung the baby by its feet, smashing its head against the brick wall and killing it instantly. Big Harp would eventually get his comeuppance, not necessarily for this murder, but from, believe it or not, he and his brothers actually stole their first wives. Yes, kidnapped their wives. And the father of one of those kidnapped wives got his revenge in 1799. He captured Big Harp, and he was beheaded with his head stuck on a stake near or outside of town. Another tragedy that befell the King's Tavern, at this time King's Inn, was brought on by adultery and then murder. When Richard King had turned into a wealthy man, he became wealthy very quickly, and as most men with money do, he determined that he could have just exactly what he wanted, regardless of his vows to his current wife. King had hired a 16-year-old girl, to work as a server in his tavern. Now, granted, okay, I know times were different back then, and people were getting married at 14, 15 years old, but in this day and age, getting married at 16, The girl at the time was actually engaged herself, but King immediately determined that the girl would be his, and he began attempts of seducing her regularly. Well, it finally worked, and young Madeline gave in to his advances, and a sultry Mississippi love affair began. Everything was just wonderful between the two of them, at least until Mrs. King caught wind of what was going on. And as they say, hell hath no fury than a woman scorned. And then you multiply that by infinity when you're dealing with a Southern woman. The rest of the story is revenge is a dish served cold. Well, Madeline all of a sudden came up missing. And Mr. King was walking around doing his best, trying to hide his broken heart. But on the other hand, Mrs. King is wearing just a hint of a sly smile, but has nothing to say on the matter. In 1930, the Portsmouth family, the family that bought the house from the Kings, they were doing some renovations, and they were doing repairs on the fireplace in the main room of the tavern when they found three mummified bodies cemented into the walls of the fireplace. Two men and a young girl. In another fireplace in another room, a dagger was found, and it's been assumed that this was the murder weapon for all three of the bodies. So who was in the fireplace with Madeline? No one knows for sure, but there are rumors that the bodies belonged to the men that were either patrons or servants that had annoyed Mrs. King. Wow, that lady is hardcore mean, isn't she? Let's take a look at some of the paranormal happenings here at King's Tavern. And let's go back first to when Big Harp there killed the baby. It's been said that you can hear a baby crying in the building, and also the screams of the mother. And it's pretty obvious that it was from the baby that was killed. One of the old lodging rooms still has the antique four-poster bed in it. And if you can run your hand over it, and it is said that it has a spot of warmth as if somebody has been lying there, but there hasn't been anybody in the bed. And you also need to keep your eye on one of the mirrors up there too, because sometimes there is a figure that is seen reflected in it, a passing movement out of the corner of your eye. But obviously there's nobody in the room. There is a male entity, the same one that a lot of people think they see in the mirror, and he has been seen in a spectral form, and he is blamed for throwing dishes and feelings of pressure in the chest or neck. Now, to me, what's one thing to throw dishes and things like that, but when you go touching somebody, that does seem to weird me out a little bit. I think the actual physical contact would be one thing that would just really bug me if I was on an investigation, just was being touched. That I think that would actually spook me more than anything, rather than things being thrown about and stuff like that. I think one of the most prominent spirits at the inn, though, is the ghost of Madeline. She has been seen quite often in different ways. One of the ways that people say that they will come across her is if the floor has been freshly mopped. For some reason, she really likes to walk across a freshly mopped floor barefoot, and you can actually see her footprints show up in the places that was mopped. And I think she's a little bit of a prankster. She also enjoys knocking jars from off the shelves and rocking in the rocking chairs, turning on faucets, and turning off lights. She proves to be quite handy, though, when she wants to be. Staff says that there are a few doors that are very hard to open and close due to the age of the structure. And when Madeline's name is called, the door will open. When the staff member is finished in the room, the door will close solidly behind them when they walk out. Now, I had another story told to me the other day by Diane Student from the History Goes Bump podcast. She had come on my stereo show on Sunday night and was listening, and I had mentioned that I was doing King's Tavern this week, and she had went and done an investigation at the location, and there was a painting at the top of one of the stairs that is believed to be of Madeline, and she was wearing a really beautiful brooch. And Diane was telling me that she had went up to the top of the stairs and was looking at the painting, and she had a EMF meter with her, and she made a comment about how pretty the brooch was. That meter just went all the way red. And every time that they were talking about that brooch, the meter would just go off. Madeline obviously really liked people complimenting her on her brooch. Some more examples of things that the employees have seen at King's Tavern was they had footage of one of the small refrigerators behind the bar opening and closing all on its own. A Yelp review, of all places, I found a ghostly experience of King's Tavern. And I'm going to read that. It goes, "We found out after we had ate that the King's Tavern is supposedly haunted. I am generally skeptical of this, but I found out when I mentioned jokingly to the guy when we paid that the cap on my soft drink literally flew across the table. It was a bottle of root beer, and I had opened it, and because there was a random fly flying around, I didn't want it getting in my drink, so I laid the cap back on top of the bottle. I did not tighten it at all, and when we were waiting for our meal, the top literally flew off the bottle across the table about 3 feet. I looked at my husband and jokingly said, either there's some crazy carbonation in that drink or this place is haunted. I mentioned it to the guy when we checked out, and he said that it is indeed haunted, and I'm not sure what to make of that, but I can tell you that is what I saw." Another ghostly entity is the entity of a man with a top hat. Now, this may be the same one I mentioned earlier that has been seen in a mirror, and it does sound rather the same, but they do give him a description as wearing a top hat. And a little more background is he could have been one of the murdered men that was found in the chimney, or could have been one of the outlaws that we were talking about earlier himself. The waiters and the waitresses feel that he has an evil persona. Perhaps he is just angry for being killed. He is also seen wearing a dark jacket, pants, and a black tie, like one of those string ties. And sometimes he appears behind people getting their pictures taken by the fireplace where the bodies were found. So he's not only a dark presence, he also likes to photobomb people in their pictures. And this is where I get the idea that he may be the same one I mentioned earlier. It says people have felt tightness in their necks and shoulders and pressure on their chest, and that dishes have been thrown around in an aggressive manner. There's a good chance that this entity could be the same one that I mentioned a little bit ago. One last little piece of interest here is the fireplace where the bodies were found. It's been said that even though it's not in use, it would still emit heat as if it had been burning wood. Wow, that is just really wild, man. I think that is very interesting. All right. Well, folks, that is King's Tavern, and I hope you've enjoyed it. And let's take a minute to go over a new iTunes review that we have received. This review comes from a Rick Mahogany 4 on Apple Podcasts. "Love it. This podcast, The Local Stuff, is pretty cool. Reminds you that you don't know everything about where you live and that spooky stuff can be happening in your backyard. A really fun podcast." Thank you very much, Rick. I appreciate the review. If you really enjoy this podcast, please go out to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review and also a rating. That really helps us come up in the search listings so more people can find our show. If you would like to help support the podcast, you can go and make a one-time donation at buymeacoffee.com/boommydadsays. That really helps us with some of the day-to-day expenses that we have with the show, keeping our equipment up to par, as well as paying for some of our reoccurring expenses, such as my subscription for the music service that I do for the show that allows me to use some of the music that I do in the background. Coming up on the 24th of March, I actually have my first investigation that I'm going to be going on since starting this podcast. And it's at the Tipton Haynes Historic Site in Johnson City, Tennessee. And that is March the 24th. That's a Wednesday night from 6 to 11 p.m. And I'm going to be going out with a group called SRS Paranormal. And they're going to be guiding the the investigation, and I'm really excited about this because not only is it my first investigation as a podcaster, it is my first investigation, period. So I'm really excited about this coming up. Folks, I hope you have a great rest of the week, and I enjoy hosting this podcast for you all. Thank you so much for all the kind words. I'm looking forward to the next couple of episodes that we've got coming down the line. Next week, we're going to be having an interview with Joseph Carrasco from the Cognitive Discourse podcast. And he has some really interesting paranormal stories that he's going to tell us that has happened to him. And then the week after that, we are going to be hitting San Antonio, Texas for our next haunted locale. But until then, I hope everybody has a great rest of their week, and good night, and God bless, my friends. Good evening, and welcome to another episode of Boo, My Dad Says. My name is John.
And I'm Becca.
And we're your tour guides through the world of the paranormal.
We've got a whole lot of history, a whole lot of mystery, and a whole lot of weird.
So sit back, relax, and prepare for a spine-tingling time.